Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio. Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
the United Kingdom,
Zimbabwe.
We're bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirrored Voices, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Two, three, four.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Mirrored Voices here on Encuentro Radio, the digital radio station for CEPALC. My name is Hannah, and I am here once again with Michelle on this rainy afternoon in Bogota, Colombia. How are you, Michelle?
I was just thinking about how ironic it is that we're listening to a song that says it feels like summer, and summer is like sunshine and everything. In here, it's freezing.
Yeah, pretty cold and rainy.
I'm good.
But that's the thing about Bogota. Sometimes it's like in the same day. Some people say, oh, you have all four seasons in one day. I wouldn't go that far because I'm used to pretty drastic seasons.
Yeah.
But you can get like really intense sun. Mm-hmm. And I always laugh when people call it like, oh, it's a sol de lluvia, like it's a sun for rain, or like a rain
yeah.
sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, a what? But it, like, you know, it's really intense sun, and then pretty soon after
it's
that,
raining.
Pouring down rain.
Yeah, we have a similar thing in my country. My mom would always say that, and I'll be like, what? And then she'd be like, look over there, like, the gray clouds are starting to gather, so the sun is just it's just for display, it's gonna rain either way.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay.
I also really love when people in Spanish say, like, sol es picante.
Mm.
Because picante also means, like,
hot?
Spicy. Like,
yeah.
hot or spicy food. And so
yeah.
I'm like, oh, spicy sun. Spicy sun.
I know. There's so many things that when you try to translate in English, they literally don't make sense.
No.
You know? And I'm always amused when I'm talking to those bilingual people from here in Colombia.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just read a message from a person I'm working with, and then I'm supposed to send some documents, and then she was like, I'll be pending. And I was like, this is estar pendiente
uh-huh.
in Spanish. She just literally changed it into English, but it doesn't really make sense.
Right, well, you can kind of tell with the original language. And that is an interesting phenomenon that is happening more and more in the U.S. too, especially in regions where there's a lot of Spanish speakers, and phrases like that that are direct translations, like to get, what is it, to get off the bus, or no, to get up the bus or something, like different phrases or like prepositions or things that like changes also the way we speak English, which I think is fascinating.
I know. I remember last night I wanted to, someone say something and I wanted to say, oh my God, I'm manifesting this. And I was like, is it manifestando? But that sounds English. Like, wait,
yeah.
let me ask Google Translate. And then it was manifestando. And I was like, oh, wow. Interesting.
I'm learning. I've been learning for a couple of years Portuguese, and I often will, like, second guess. I was like, all right, is this word in Portuguese, or am I thinking in Spanish?
Mm.
Or saying, like, oh, I don't know what this is, so maybe I'll just use the Spanish instead. And it turns out it is the same. I'm like, oh, okay.
I've noticed that, too, with Portuguese, and you covered it right.
Mm-hmm.
It's so confusing. In my case.
It is. You have, like, all these words that are the exact same or very similar, and then you get one that's way out there.
Mm.
So I'm like, pineapple, okay, piña, okay, Portuguese, it's got to be similar, right?
Mm.
No, it's abacaxi.
What?
Abacaxi.
Wow.
Nothing at all like piña
no,
or pineapple.
Not at all.
But anyway.
It is what it
is. So last week, we started talking a little bit about environmentalism as kind of the theme for this month. We're talking about the environment. It's kind of the Mother Earth Day is coming up soon. Last week, we also talked about some of the Sapulc workshops and what's going on in the Meta region. And we talked about Transvisibility Day as well. And I promised at the end of the program that I would talk about compost.
I'm here for you. I'm so excited.
I'm glad, because I feel like this has become a new, like, mini passion of mine. Not so new. It had been developing for a few years.
Okay.
So I'm always, like, excited when people are interested in learning about it, because I'm still learning a lot. So compost, you can basically think of it as, like, how we've learned to recycle plastic and paper and, you know, cans and things. You can kind of think of compost as a way to recycle food scraps. Similar idea of, like, taking eggshells and coffee grounds and banana peels and apple cores and all these, like, different parts of food that you usually throw away, that you usually don't eat, as well as plant clippings and pet hair, which is very helpful for me because I have a hairy dog.
I know. Very hairy.
Or, you know, dry leaves or things like that. All of this organic material, basically, and turn it into fertilizer or soil that can be used to grow more food and grow, you know, other plants and things like that.
Okay.
So how does it work? Basically, all of these, like, organic material are things that decompose. Naturally.
Okay.
Over, you know, after a certain amount of time, they will decompose. But when we put our when we put these things into a plastic garbage bag and throw it in a landfill, that's not the ideal environment for things to be able to decompose properly, and it's not useful. It's, you know, you put it in a plastic bag and throw it in a landfill, and it doesn't serve any more purpose, really.
Before we go any further, I've got a question.
Yes.
But then the thing where sometimes they're like worms in the in the comus, is that like is
there are a couple different ways to compost, which is one thing that I'd like to learn more about if I have like the space or like a home with a garden or something, and learn how to like do it my own, because there are a couple different methods. So some of them include worms and basically letting the worms eat that all those like organic materials, and they poop out basically soil. So that's one of the ways to do it. That can be, that is pretty popular as well. There are other ways that don't necessarily involve worms, if that like grosses you out or something.
Yeah, it grosses me out.
So you don't have to do it. It's okay.
My mom used to do it, and it grossed me out. That's why I was asking.
Yeah, there are other ways to do it as well.
Okay.
There are, in some cities, depending on where you live, or towns, that implement large programs with designated compost bins, similar to like a garbage or recycling with regular pickup, which I think is awesome. I wish everywhere did it. I've never lived in a town or a city that has had that like infrastructure in place, but it would be really interesting to to have that, because it makes it super easy. You just put, you know, your compost materials instead of in the garbage bin, you put it in a compost bin, and every week they pick it up and take it, and they'll turn it into soil or whatever and use it in the parks and the gardens and all the things in the city.
That is so
strange. Some places have that. In 1996, San Francisco, California was one of like the early cities in the U.S. to really implement like a large-scale composting program. And by 2000, so within 4 years, they reduced the waste from landfills by 50%. So really, if you look at, you know, between organic materials that can be compost, recycled materials, when you start separating those two categories out, really what's left as garbage is very little, or can be depending on like lifestyle. So one thing that I see a lot of people talk about, if you're interested in like zero waste or reducing your waste, one really helpful way is to like kind of do a trash audit, they call it, of like looking at really what it is that you're throwing out, how much of it can be composed, how much of it can be recycled, how much of it can be avoided in general, and you see that the actual waste or the actual trash that's left is often very small. So like my garbage cans fill up very slowly.
I can imagine.
I think maybe the bathroom, because in Colombia you don't flush toilet paper down the toilet. That's a different thing, and that's not allowed in the compost, at least that I participate in. Like waste, like literal waste, human or animal, is not allowed for safety reasons. So the bathroom garbage is the one that fills up the fastest, and the kitchen, we just take it out when the bathroom fills up, because it never fills up. I recently read that New York City made composting mandatory as of April 1st this year, so just a few days ago. And we'll start fining residential buildings and property owners that don't properly separate the organic material for compost. And it can lead to between a $25 fine if it's like a first offense or like a minor, up to a $300 fine if people are really like ignoring the law.
Like if it's the whole building.
Yeah. And it's similar to recycling, which technically has been mandatory also for 20 years in New York City. So if there's no collection offered in your area, like most places that I've lived, I think that most people are probably in that situation. You can also look at, is there a community garden that takes compost or compost drop-offs? I remember when I lived in New Jersey, kind of looking for those opportunities as well. There are, for some people who have the space, who have, who don't live in an apartment, unfortunately, to have like a garden or backyard compost. And that's where I said there's a couple different strategies.
Mm.
So some of them are the worm bins. There are also like ones that these like big rotating bins that kind of help to aerate the compost material in the soil to avoid it getting too moist.
Okay.
You kind of need this balance, or at least in one of the methods, you need this balance of like temperature and also like humidity and dryness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like, oh, if it's getting too humid or too wet,
mm-hmm.
you know, you add leaves, you add cardboard, you can add like egg cartons or something to help kind of absorb some of that moisture,
mm-hmm.
which also helps avoid it from like smelling bad or anything.
Okay.
And then keep that kind of balance so that you get the right compost and not as much like, doesn't smell like trash, doesn't attract wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
I've also heard of people literally just kind of making a hole in the ground and kind of burying and letting nature take its course.
I was gonna ask because my mom used to do that. Like, she'd just dig a big hole and then she'd fill stuff in and then she'd say, oh, it's compost. We'll dig it up later and use it as fertilizer. And then I just didn't get it. Like, you know.
That is probably the simplest way to do it. Obviously, depending on where you live, you might be careful. Like, if you live in a space that has a lot of like animals, or like, you know, dogs or rats or raccoons or things that might be tempted to like dig that stuff back up.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the where you need to be careful. But yeah, I mean, literally, it's just letting nature take its course and letting material decompose. So some people do that as well. I've also seen people buy little machines that are much faster. I'm not sure how the process works, but
okay.
They put the compost material in the machine, and the machine will kind of like turn out soil much faster than like a typical process, which can take months to even a year for, you know, those materials to really become usable soil.
That sounds interesting.
The easiest way, I think, obviously, is if someone else picks it up for you, especially us living in the city and not having a backyard and not having a garden. And, you know, I have a couple plants, but, like, that's it. Then I think the best way is to have someone else who comes to pick up your things and does the hard work for you.
I feel like I'm going to need to invest a lot of interest in that the next time I make a move out of my country, because there are some things, like there are like some plants that we consume in my country that I've come to realize, I assumed that you could find them everywhere in the world. But living in Colombia, I've realized that it's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
So part of my list is like carrying seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Having a small flower bed kind of situation, and just having my stash, because like I've noticed people Zimbabweans living in the UK, they do that, like on the patio you see all sorts of plants and, you know, sometimes maize depending on where they are, because the kind of maize differs depending on where you are. Like, for example, here, people have corn, like the yellow one. In my country, we're not such good fans, big fans of that.
Mm-hmm.
We have our own type of maize.
Okay.
But anyways, it's those little things that I've been thinking, like, it could be something important. Like, if you have a flower bed and it has tiny plants, probably need a compost too, you know, so that they'll be nourished, properly nourished, that kind of thing. So I'm really, really interested in the information you're giving us today, Hannah. I'm learning a lot.
I highly recommend whatever city you're living in or town or whatever to look at kind of what options are available. Compost is sometimes called black gold by farmers because it's so rich in nutrients. So it's so good for plants, like you said. And
what do they call it in Spanish?
Oh, I don't know.
Last time you Last time you made mention of the fact that there's actually a new program where you turn in compost and get fertilizer.
Yes. I'll get right to that. First, I wanted to clarify the difference between food waste and food scraps.
Okay.
So in the U.S., about 28% of what we throw out in the trash is food or garden scraps that can be turned into nutrient-rich soil under the right conditions. Now, in the U.S., and I think in a lot of places, there's also a really big issue of food waste, of basically perfectly good food going bad because we don't eat it, because we buy in excess, because we forget it in the back of the fridge. I'm sometimes guilty of this. I'm trying to get better of thinking of we have all of these plans of like meals we're going to prepare this week, and then something ends up going bad before we can get to it. Or restaurants like making, you know, lots of food and then not selling all of it, and then it goes in the trash or it's not used, which is really sad considering how many people go hungry every day also. So the idea is not that all of this food waste of perfectly good food goes to compost, but really it's the food scraps. So it's these bits and pieces that we don't necessarily eat, like the onion skins or the garlic skin, or the orange peel, or
the apple thingy. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, the apple core. Or like a peach pit, or you know, the bits and pieces that you usually like remove, especially the outer layers of most like fruits and vegetables, that you kind of remove in order to get to the good stuff, get to the stuff that you cook.
Yeah, it's like with I don't know if a lot of people do this with cucumbers. I usually peel the green part.
Yeah.
And then I also
you kinda cut out the end.
The leaves. The seeds, I mean. The middle part. So yeah. I just eat the white part.
So those are all things that could go to compost.
Okay.
Another tip for this isn't exactly compost, but kind of a way to give those like food scraps a second opportunity before you're done with them is to make a vegetable broth with them. So I used to do this before I was able to compost, where you basically, you can store in the freezer a bag or a container or something of the onion skins, the garlic skins, the bits of like the carrot peels, the, you know,
potatoes,
vegetables, the parts of the vegetables especially that you don't eat. I put them in a freezer.
Okay.
When you have enough, you put them in a big pot with water and salt or whatever kind of spices or herbs you want, and boil it for a while, and then you strain it out, and you're left with like a good base broth for cooking, for soups, for things like that.
Cool.
And then ideally that would go to compost afterwards.
Okay.
But if you're this was kind of like a baby step for me that I started doing. Like, okay, I don't really see an opportunity to compost where I am. But this idea of, like, using food scraps in a new way was really interesting. And I did a lot of those making soups out of food scraps.
Wow. Was it good?
Yeah, it is good. Because, I mean, you use that as opposed to, like, using broth or just water in a lot of recipes. But it's a little heartier. It's a little more flavorful.
I do get that. It's probably also healthier as compared to the ones that come in packets. Like
right, and you can control like how much salt you're really going to use. Sometimes those are really high in salt, the like pre-made things or the little like bouillon
cubes. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that.
So the local example that I had that I found that I have really enjoyed and that I'm happy to tell anybody about anytime they ask me.
Okay.
In Bogota, if you're in Bogota, there's a company called Más Compost, Menos Basura. So more compost, less trash.
Cool.
Which was also started by a woman named Jessica Rivas.
Okay.
So also kind of highlighting women who are offering solutions to these problems of food waste and of reducing waste in the city. So since 2010, they've been offering educational opportunities to promote compost and waste reduction And so their model is basically for a monthly or yearly subscription fee. They give you a bucket.
Okay.
With different sizes depending on how big your household is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You just, instead of putting, you know, organic material in the trash in mm-hmm. the kitchen, you put it in the little bucket. And they give, like, a bag of wood chips.
Okay.
So, like, some of that, like, dry material that you can use. If it's getting a little funky or a little too wet or
okay.
something, you can kind of, honestly, I have not noticed my compost ever smelling bad.
Okay.
It doesn't smell like nasty trash. I think a lot of people are like, no, compost probably smells gross. but really, when you change it out every week and you have some of that dry material as well,
mm.
I don't think I've ever smelled it. And basically every week someone comes. They pick up your bucket and leave mm. you a new one.
Cool.
And that's it. You don't have to do anything else. and then every couple months, something really cool, they give you like a bag of fertilizer, which mm-hmm. is kind of the product of composting process.
Yeah.
Or invite you to what they call like a compost trading event,
okay.
where you can get local produce in exchange for your fertilizer that goes to the local farmer. So
okay.
that they can use. So it's basically like, if you know that you're not going to use fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
I have a couple plants. I've, you know, maybe once or twice got the bag of fertilizer and I still have it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it's like, okay, someone else can use this fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take some of the produce that they use from that.
Wow.
Which is really cool. Last
mm-hmm.
time I got like a big bag of carrots and onions and spinach and, you know, lots of things.
Wow.
Now, obviously, there's some issues in accessibility, so, like, not everyone can maybe afford to pay for the monthly or yearly subscription. And not every part of the city has,
wait,
is available.
You have to pay to enroll in the program?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's, I think, the biggest downside, and it's, when I started doing it, it was, like, 40,000 pesos a month.
Okay.
I think it has gone up.
Okay.
I think now if you sign up, it's probably more like 50.
Okay.
With, like, discounts. Oh, if you pay for the entire year up front, you know, you get a few months taken off of the price.
Cool.
So I think that's, like, a downside because a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
unfortunately, don't make these changes.
Mm-hmm.
If it's seen as, like, inconvenient of, like, oh, I have
yeah.
to pay in order to do it.
Yeah.
Nah, it's not worth it.
Mm.
And not every part of the city is covered, even though it seems like they are expanding a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There still might be, like, some regions in the
mm.
city that they don't really go to. However, this year they started a new initiative that they call Más Compost Open. Basically, once a month, it seems like at the end of each month,
mm-hmm.
along the Ciclovía, so
yeah.
in Bogotá, there are certain streets that are closed on Sundays and basically open for biking and running and jogging and for people to be out and getting exercise.
Mm-hmm.
So on different locations, I think each month it's a different place, it seems like.
Okay.
But along that Ciclovía route, for people to drop off their compost for free.
Okay.
And they may also kind of receive a little, like a goodie bag, it seems like. If you are interested in learning more, I definitely recommend to follow Más Compost Menos Basura on Instagram
right.
for all of the information, because I think this is a new program. They started just this year, so
mm-hmm.
I think they're still figuring out some of the details in locations and in if you have to sign up, if you, you know, what
yeah.
what the process is. But it is kind of a free option to do. And you can always store your compost in the freezer.
Okay.
So it won't smell or anything. You can freeze it, and then when you're ready to drop it off, put it in.
Stick it off.
Hopefully, like a paper bag,
mm-hmm.
Because the paper bag is also compostable.
Okay.
Or some kind of, you know, recipient to be able to bring it in.
Wow.
And Jessica Rivas, as I mentioned, she co-founded the organization,
mm-hmm.
I believe with her husband. I think her husband does a little bit more of the behind-the-scenes work, and
okay.
she's been really the more visible person.
Mm. full friend.
Yeah, she went on Shark Tank Colombia. Are you familiar with the show Shark Tank?
Mm-mm. What is it about?
It actually has nothing to do with Shark Tanks.
I was thinking something like Fear Factor.
No, it does sound like it. But no, it's like a business investing show, basically.
Oh.
So, like, small business owners go and present to this panel of investors that are called, like, the sharks.
Okay.
But people with lots of money who want to invest in small businesses.
Mm.
And they make a pitch of their business model, of their product, of whatever it is. And then the investors basically, they try to work out a deal or say, like, nope, I'm going to pass.
Okay.
And so Jessica went on Shark Tank Colombia a few years ago and looking for investments into this company. She got, you know, widespread support from the judges / investors and has also kind of helped other small businesses learn how to make a good pitch because on the show they basically said, you know, what a great presentation. Hopefully more people can, like, organize their presentations the way you did. And so I think it's also cool that she's taking that experience to help other small business owners, and especially other women, and especially other people that are doing projects focused on the environment.
It's very interesting.
So if you are in Bogota and interested, this is not sponsored, obviously, but I do recommend checking out Más Compost, Menos Basura, and in whatever city you live in, to see what options are available to be able to start composting, because I think it's a really easy way to help reduce what we send to landfills and a great way to give back to the environment, to give back to the earth all those nutrients that give us our food.
Wow, thank you,
Hannah. You're welcome.
Good enlightening information, because some of us, like, we had not been aware of how important it is to do compost, like, to participate in those things. And it's amazing that now, even if you're living in an apartment or in the city central, there are options for people in which they can still do compost. Because, as I mentioned before, like, my mom used to do it, and my mom is so passionate about garden stuff, but I was never interested. I would just, you know. And then she had the hole in the air thingy, and sometimes there'd be worms, and it'd be gross, and then she'd be like, no, that's a sign that the process is going well. So it's really interesting, really, especially also for, like I mentioned, like some foreigners, for example, myself, there are certain things that we want to grow on our own and cultivate, but when you're in a different part of the world, maybe you don't even know the language that people speak, like, it's one of those things you don't really think about, like couples, like, it's literally the last thing on most people's minds, but the fact that you brought light to it, it's really important.
And especially seeing, like, how much trash, how much garbage is on the streets in Bogota. And now that I've started composting for a couple years, I look at it like, oh, that could have been compost.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I start to look at trash. Or even when I go home and I'm, like, with my parents.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I feel bad, like, you know, in the kitchen chopping things up and then
throwing things out in the garbage.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this could be compost. So once you start, you never look at, like, garbage the same way again.
Yeah, I know. I literally feel the same way currently. I'm not sure if I will enroll myself in the compost program, but because I'm eating a lot of vegetables lately and then just putting them in the trash. Because when we were in the same building, I was used to just, oh, I'll just go and give it to Hannah. I'll just go and give it to Hannah.
Yeah.
And I was like, what do I do with this? Hannah's so far away now. And then, yeah, I completely get it. Like, completely. Even though I do recycle, like, the normal, the plastics and the cardboard and stuff, part of me just feels, you know, just throwing the scraps in the trash.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for the information.
You're welcome.
And I hope our listeners are also feeling motivated to participate in doing compost.
Yeah, and hopefully more places kind of implement the infrastructure so that people don't really have to think about it, or people don't have to, like, research how to compost or research what to do, and it can be more of an option. Like, regular trash or recycling pickup, I think, is the easiest way to do it.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, a lot of things with the environment, we kind of prioritize convenience and ease. And though they're usually how we end up using a lot of single-use plastics and a lot of, you know, things that aren't great for the environment, but, oh, it's so convenient. So I think the more we can make things convenient that are also good for the environment, I think is probably the best way to go.
And also to just have that know-how, you know, that information, and having access to these areas. For example, if you're living in a building and there are people who participate in separating trash, recycling, that sort of thing, it also motivates you as a person, because you can't be just throwing trash when the rest of the building occupants are recycling, you know. So that also goes a long way, which is why I'm actually impressed with the law from New York that they're saying if you don't
And of
do
course,
it,
like, people
fine.
Have complained about it, but the interviews that I heard, I was kind of like, you know, with someone, I was listening to National Public Radio, and they were talking about this, and interviewing, you know, this guy who had, who's, no, but I have, you know, all these different buildings, and how am I going to keep track of making sure that people are separating their compost in each building and taking it out? And I'm listening and kind of like, oh, boo-hoo, you own too many properties. Like, I don't know. It's hard to sympathize. I think there's always an initial, like, education gap of, like, and it's the same with recycling. People need to know, like, what, when they're separating their trash, like, what goes where. But honestly, once you kind of get the hang of that, it's easy. And the fact that the city is picking it up on a regular basis, all you have to do is take it out. The same as you would, like, your trash and recycling. Like, yeah, I think when people are complaining, it's just kind of about, people always complain. If you're asking them to put in a little bit of effort, they'll complain and be like, who are you to tell me to do this? And I don't think they realize how fortunate it is to live in a city that offers that infrastructure when so many places don't.
I know, right? I'm also thinking about it, because where I come from, we don't have nothing of that sort. Like, in most big cities, like, I live in the capital city, and we do not even prioritize recycling. And now I've just gotten used to recycling here, because when I first got here, it was weird. And then I learned to appreciate it and how important it is for the environment. And now I'm thinking, going back, now this is part of that culture shock, that reverse culture shock, because, like, you're used to recycling, like, everything goes in its bag, you know? Like, when the trash people come to pick it up, they even wrote on the truck thingies that the white paper, the white bag is for recycling material. And then you go back home and it's like...
Everything's trash. And even in some parts of, of Colombia, like, it always surprises me to go to some of the regions that we're working in and realize there are no garbage trucks that come here. And so people are often burning their trash, which can be harmful, especially if there's a lot of plastic. And I always forget the name in English. Icopor. Styrofoam. Styrofoam. Okay. Which is also... things that can be, can release kind of harmful chemicals, and they're burned, but that's kind of the way, the waste management that's available is to burn trash and, like, forget about recycling, and forget about compost. Well, compost maybe, because if they're, like, in kind of in farming areas, that, that may be a regular practice, but trash collection probably doesn't exist, and recycling, is pretty difficult too.
That is true, because I remember, like, my mom sometimes likes taking care of hens. I'm talking about my mom. I love She likes taking care of chickens. Like, she likes to breed her own chickens. She's like, I don't like this NGO stuff with the injections and stuff. I like my own original, the ones that I've watched growing, and, you know, other sort of
which
thing.
Is unique. I think most people are like, I don't want to see when my food was alive. I don't want to know the chicken before I eat it.
Right? My mom isn't like that. She'll be like, she would rather take care of them herself. And she would, like, give the scraps, the vegetable scraps, the peels, and the whatever. She'd give it to the chickens.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd be like,
yeah,
they're going to poop, and that is going to be my fertilizer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, the best fertilizer when you're growing vegetables and stuff. So I just thought about it. Like, the little things that you don't really think about, but when, you know, after learning about compost and stuff, you're like, wow. In a way, she was doing her own
exactly,
composting.
Yeah,
you know?
And there are, like, these kinds of practices that were, or still are in some places, like, the norm, especially with, like, agricultural communities or, like, farming communities or things that are just more connected to the earth that we lose a lot when we live in these big cities.
True.
Because we're not really, we live on this, you know, land, but we're not really connected because of the apartment buildings and the traffic and, you know, all of the concrete and, you know, so things that we lose that for a lot of farmers and a lot of generations that were taking care of animals and taking care of, like, plants and produce was like, no, this is how we function.
You know, I just thought of something that happened recently. So we went to what is it called? A Mundo Ventura, like a theme park. And there were rides and stuff. And
did you finally go on a roller coaster?
No, yet. There wasn't a roller coaster there.
No.
I'm hoping May is the month of the roller coaster.
Okay.
Because right now it's raining every day, so
yeah,
I cannot risk
true.
It. So we get there, right? And then we did the rides and stuff. Almost died a couple of times, but that's okay. That's another story for another day. And then there was, like, a petting zoo, and then she was like, oh, I want to see the bunnies, and I'm like, okay, let's go. I was assuming that there were going to be, you know, bunnies and ponies and, you know, like, the usual animals you find in a petting zoo, and we get there. They're cows, they're chickens, they're hens, and I'm like, and everyone's like, oh my god, it's so cute, and they're taking pictures, and I'm like, am I the only one who sees what is wrong here? And then they're like, and then they were like vegetables, like you can buy them and feed the animals, and then people would buy those, and then they'll be feeding like the goats and stuff. And I'm like, they even had names, and I'm like, I think that's one of the results of staying in the city for too long.
Yeah,
because if you are exposed to areas where this is livestock, it's food. And then in my mind, I was like, so are they going to eat shallot someday? And then my friend was like, why are you thinking that way? I mean, let's just enjoy the animals. Like, it's so cute. And, like, you know, pet a llama or something. And I'm like, no.
There's also, yeah, no. Cultural differences. Like, I'm always amazed by how Colombians are fascinated by squirrels. Or a lot of my friends, at least, by, like, squirrels and chipmunks and these things. And I'm like, in the U.S., these are
rodents,
pests. You know, they're all over the place.
Right.
My grandma gets mad that, you know, the squirrels and chipmunks are eating her bird seed that she leaves out for the birds, and
right.
You know, they're kind of like the same way you would look at, like, pigeons. But when Andres and I were in the U.S., he would stop, look, a squirrel, and I was like, yeah, there's a lot here. But he was fascinated by them because he had never seen them in person before.
I know, like, Colombians are so weird to some extent. And then I took pictures and I posted them on my WhatsApp. I was waiting for people from Zimbabwe to comment, and they did, and I was excited. I was like, now I know I'm normal. I'm 100% normal, because it was just weird for me.
For time's sake, I think
we're
let's go straight into our little postre for the day. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
So take it away, Michelle.
Okay, so for our poster of the day, our dessert, I'm going to be talking about the plastic-free mermaid.
Oh.
Have you heard about the plastic-free mermaid?
No.
Okay. So, it's a woman called Kate Nelson who has been living without single-use plastic for over a decade.
Oof,
her journey, I know, right? For over a decade. Her journey began while volunteering for a nonprofit in Santa Barbara, California. It was there that she learned about the devastating impact of plastic on our ocean and marine life. Determined to make a change, Kate decided to eliminate single-use plastics from her life entirely. Imagine that. No plastic bags, no plastic bottles, no disposable cups. Instead, Kate uses reusable alternatives for everything. She carries a stainless steel water bottle, uses cloth bags for shopping, and makes her own beauty products to avoid plastic packaging. But Kate's commitment goes beyond her personal lifestyle. She's passionate about educating others how to reduce their plastic footprint. Through her blog, I Quit Plastics, and her YouTube channel, she shares practical tips and DIY solutions for living a plastic-free life. From homemade sunscreen to beeswax wraps, Kate's creative ideas make it easy for everyone to join the movement. Would you consider using homemade sunscreen?
I would have questions to make sure that it's really effective, that it's like really working.
Right.
I mean, I think some beauty products I can understand. Sunscreen, I feel like, is such an important thing, especially if you're pale like me.
Mm-hmm.
But for everybody, really, the sun can damage you no matter what color your skin is. I would hesitate on that one.
One of the most popular initiatives is the Plastic Free Challenge, which encourages people to go plastic free for a week or a month. Participants share their experiences, challenges, and successes, creating a supportive community dedicated to reducing plastic waste. And Kate's efforts have not gone unnoticed. She's been featured in numerous publications and spoken at environmental conferences around the world. Her message is clear: we all can make a difference, one plastic free step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So what we can learn from Kate Nelson, the plastic-free mermaid, first, is that change starts with awareness. Understanding the impact of plastic on our planet is the first step towards making better choices. Second, that every small action counts, whether it's refusing a plastic straw or bringing your own bag to the store, these actions add up and create a ripple effect. And finally, that we can inspire others by sharing our journey. Kate's story shows that living a plastic-free life is not only possible but also rewarding. By sharing her tips and experiences, she's empowered people to take actions and protect our oceans. So, let's take a page from Kate's book and start making changes today. Remember, every little bit helps,
mm-hmm.
and together we can make a big impact. So that's our poster for today. Plastic-free world.
Yeah.
Even though I'm really not a fan of the paper straws.
I would rather just not use a straw. I think most of the time they're not necessary.
I know, like when it gets, like you're trying to drink a milkshake and then it just gets wet and gross.
Yeah. There are also metal straws, like stainless steel kind of straws,
mm-hmm.
That I think that, you know, they obviously don't disintegrate like paper.
Mm-hmm.
That I haven't tried, but I've heard also people enjoy that. I often just say, I don't think I really need a straw. I can just, you know, drink it from the cup.
That's it, yeah.
That's fine.
You know, I mean, in a city like Bogota, wherever you go, you get offered tinto, and sometimes it's in those.
A little plastic cup or a little plastic stir, even
or
if,
gaseosa or whatever they offer you in the. How long do you think you can go without using plastic?
That would be an interesting experiment. I mean, we could try.
Yeah.
I would be interested to see how long we can go. Or like a week's worth. What does a week's worth of plastic look like in our lives?
Yeah.
I think that would be an interesting thing to do. Or something this month while we're talking about it.
Yeah.
We can try it out.
Yeah. And then at the end of the month, we can talk about the results that we have.
Yeah. How much plastic did we consume?
Sounds good.
So feel free to join us on that challenge, or to kind of do that sort of audit, what waste am I really producing? Not like physical, like biological waste, but like trash waste. are you producing? And what are some of the ways that we can help lower that down a little bit? Sometimes like zero waste is really intimidating, but I think everybody can try to, you know, there are a few things to reduce it a bit, and to just keep taking those steps until we get more environmental friendly.
True.
So thank you everyone for joining us today. Up next, we have a program in Spanish on ecumenical movements here with the founder of Sapal, Campao Betran, and other religious leaders. So stay tuned for that. And join us next week for another episode of Mirrored Voices. And
bye.
Bye
for now.
Cascarita de naranja,
bien, bien, bien.
Cuando falla la elegancia,
bien, bien, bien.
Las hojitas que recorto,
bien, bien, bien.
Todo lo que no soporto,
bien, bien, bien.
Compost, 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 compostera. Naranja,
bien, bien, bien.
Cuando falla la elegancia,
bien, bien, bien.
Las hojitas que recorto,
bien, bien, bien.
Todo lo que no soporto.
Bien, bien.